You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest is Eric Prince, a storied military man as a Navy SEAL, better known perhaps for his work in the private sector, providing critical support with a security company known as Blackwater USA. I had the privilege early on in its life to go down and visit with Eric at the facility that he had in North Carolina for training our military and law enforcement and other personnel. It was extraordinary. He these days is with the private equity firm Frontier Resource Group. Eric is now leading a very interesting and somewhat controversial proposition that we ought to revise how we're fighting in Afghanistan, not give up, not continue making the mistakes of the past, but chart a different course. And Eric, just a quick question about who would the people be who would be going in and spending perhaps years, as you say, in some pretty dangerous territory?
Sure. They would be U.S. and NATO veterans, okay, the same kind of proven people that in many cases have been there in and out for many years, for the last decade and a half, but they're selected for their experience, for their excellence, in their willingness and ability to commit to do this on a side-by-side basis. They're going to be sergeants and above from those NATO countries. They would be held to the under a uniform code of military justice standards. So if someone did something evil, they are held to account. They would be compensated much like when a roughneck goes to an oil rig or when a professional mariner goes to sea. They get paid very well every day they're at sea, or in this case, on the ground in Afghanistan. And when they leave there, their pay goes to zero. So they're incentivized to be there doing that job for the long term. They would go through a rigorous vetting process, just like any other U.S. federal official that goes abroad and carries a firearm in a dangerous place.
Eric Prince is our guest. We're talking about this concept of a third way on Afghanistan. And Eric, you were talking about what would the rules of engagement be for these contractor personnel working side by side with Afghan army units?
Well, remember, they're there to support the Afghan forces. They're not there to command them. So it falls under the Afghan chain of command. It would be basically serving as adjuncts to the Afghan forces, which even by UN definition does not qualify them as mercenaries, since they're serving in a direct support to the Afghan government. So the rules would be set by the Afghan government. They would be held to account under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they would be far, far cheaper. The program I've laid out of mentors and some aviation support and governance support costs less than 8% of what the U.S. is currently spending there now. I can't even imagine what the U.S. is spending it on. So, you know, we try to take down each countervailing argument one by one, but it's much cheaper. It is what the Afghan security forces need, and it's the only way that they're going to be stabilized and supported to continue to apply pressure on any of the 20-some terrorist groups resident in Afghanistan.
It's not just the Taliban any longer. It is, in fact, in the parts of the country that are under their control, a safe haven, as you say, for the jihadis more generally.
And I use words like the East India Company. I'm not saying it that in any way we have colonial aspirations for Afghanistan, quite the opposite. But the way the East India Company operated was to have mostly local troops with a few Western professionals that lived with, trained with, and fought with those units. And that worked for 250 years. So
with a trivially small number of British personnel involved, as I recall. Is that right? Let me ask you about some of the criticisms you alluded to there a moment ago, Eric Prince. There's been a lot of concern, and some of this is derived from some of Blackwater's controversial past, about fraud if these contractors were involved. As we discussed earlier, there's a lot of fraud without them being in charge in the manner that you've talked about or playing the kind of role that you've talked about. But what would be your response to that suggestion?
Well, here's the thing. This plan saves more than $40 billion from what the taxpayers are currently expending in Afghanistan. Fraud prevention is pretty straightforward in tracking how many Mandates are on the ground doing the job in Afghanistan. And part of the work envisioned is governance support to the Afghan forces to make sure that the food, fuel, ammunition, and parts that they need, that they've ordered, gets to them without all the skim and corruption that's preventing the Afghan forces from fully functioning. So this is as much a training and mentoring program as it is a fraud prevention program to provide transparency and excellence for that work.
And accountability is a key element, obviously. There's another criticism, Eric, is sort of a package of them, that there's a distinct danger of these kinds of units, these contractor personnel, alienating the civilian population with whom they'll be interfacing, their lack of cultural sensitivity, some have said, their killing of unarmed civilians, record that some have been involved in, or allegations of torture and that sort of thing. How would you respond to those sorts of criticisms in terms of this proposal as you've laid it out?
For one thing, these mentors will be living with on the same base, okay, in the barracks right next to the Afghans, unlike the U.S. system where they have the Americans on one base and the Afghans on another base. So these guys will literally be culturally immersed doing that job. That is a difficult job to do, but you know they're going to have to truly depend and gain the trust of their Afghan army counterparts, following what culture dictates in terms of searches and what's acceptable on the Afghan side, because these guys are in it for the long term. It's not a 6-month deployment for them to get through and then they'll never come back. This is a long-term commitment, and they'll be incentivized to do so.
Eric, how do you address the concern about green-on-blue attacks? This kind of intimate contact obviously creates enormous numbers of opportunities for those who may have gone over to the other side, shall we say, to attack these contractors in their beds at night, perhaps, as they sleep side by side, as you say, with these Afghans.
Well, there's more details than we have time to go through as to how to mitigate that. But what I will say is, on a counterintelligence side, what they found is many of these insider attacks have come from people who have been fired 2 and 3 other times in other jobs in the Afghan government. So these are the same bad eggs that have never truly been removed from the system, and they don't have a real proper vetting system on the Afghan side to prevent this from happening. Two, when you live with, train with, and are willing to bleed with those other Afghan counterparts, most of the Afghan forces want to do the right thing. And believe me, they know who the bad eggs are as well, and that brotherhood of doing that helps eliminate that.
Lastly, very quickly, Eric, how is this proposal of yours being received at the moment by the Trump administration?
I think it's caused some serious internal discussion at the White House and the Pentagon and all the rest. I don't see the president wanting to send tens of thousands more U.S. soldiers and tens of billions of dollars back to Afghanistan to continue the same, I would say, erroneous course of the last 16 years. So it's at least being explored as an option, and I'm happy to debate anyone on the merits and the practicability of how to do this. So from writing the op-ed 2 months ago to where we are today, I feel like maybe the ship of state is starting to turn a little bit.
Terrific. Eric Prince, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your past service to our country and that you're continuing to render. I think this is a remarkably impressive, interesting, well thought out, and needed course of action, an option at the very least, as you say, to be explored, if not to be executed upon immediately. We thank you for taking the time to talk with us about it today and look forward to visiting with you as this develops further in the days ahead. Next up, Diana West joins us. We'll talk with her about the Democratic National Committee and scandals left and right. And more straight ahead.